The Bush administration's point man on Afghanistan is Richard Haass. He's director of policy planning for the State Department, and his brief these days is to figure out what should come next politically in Afghanistan should the U.S. military strikes achieve their aim of capturing or killing Osama bin Laden and ousting the Taliban from power. Richard Haass says there's one thing the United States absolutely must not do, and that's impose its own vision for rebuilding Afghanistan.
Afghanistan is not ours to engineer. We can first and foremost help encourage the emergence of a broad-based Afghan political alternative. It has to represent the various key components of Afghan society, the 40 or so percent of Afghans who are Pashtuns, the Afghans of the north who are various groups, Tajiks and others who constitute the so-called Northern Alliance or United Front. And the idea is to essentially help Afghans come together to put together an attractive alternative which will one day hopefully be able to govern the country however they choose, but also in the interim will be attractive so that people currently inside Afghanistan who have been nominally loyal to the Taliban regime will see this as an attractive alternative and begin to transfer their allegiances to it.
The United Nations has apparently expressed some reluctance to put a peacekeeping force in place. How would that work?
Well, it's clearly premature to put a peacekeeping force in. There is no peace to keep. And the history of the United Nations has been a hard one in this area, and they've learned the important but difficult lesson is that you don't want to put a force in a situation where it could be overwhelmed. So right now I think it's premature to talk about security arrangements, but hopefully we'll get to that point when various cities are liberated, no longer belong to the Taliban, but have been taken in the name, say, of this alternative Afghan political entity. Then I could imagine either Afghans themselves maintaining order, or secondly, the international community could take on this role.
Ambassador Haass, you talk about Afghanistan maintaining its own peace, about forces coming together in a cooperative fashion in Afghanistan. History would appear to show that that's not happening. It hasn't happened in a very long time. There are tribal forces that have shown no signs of working with other tribal forces in that country.
There is, though, a tradition in Afghanistan of often coming together against a common foe. And I think that it's not unrealistic to think that the Taliban is a common foe. The Taliban themselves are heavily dependent upon external support, upon Arab support. A lot of the ideology is not well based or grounded in Afghan traditions or institutions. That said, you may be right that it's probably unrealistic to think about a very tightly controlled, tightly centralized Afghan government at the end of the day. We are not coming to this with a detailed blueprint for how Afghans ought to run or govern their own country. That's not our place. We're not that ambitious. It's for them to decide the precise arrangements, the precise balance, say, between what happens in Kabul and what happens in other cities. They're going to have to decide the norms for their society. What we are trying to do really is simply to give them that chance.
Mr. Ambassador, in this atmosphere where the United States is trying to deal with Afghanistan and with the Taliban, one of your old briefs sort of came through in Northern Ireland. And I wonder if the two events relate to one another. Did the United States finally come to Northern Ireland and say, look, this has got to move. We have too much on our plate right now?
I wouldn't put it that way, but I do think that the events of September 11th may have had something to do with the progress we've recently seen in Northern Ireland, and above all in the decision of the IRA to decommission, to put some of its weapons verifiably beyond use. And I think what the IRA and Sinn Féin, its political arm, were picking up was the very changed political environment here in the United States. To use an analogy from the drug war, zero tolerance for terrorism. And I believe that that might have had some impact.
Are there other areas where the United States is similarly interested in bringing that kind of pressure to bear?
Well, I think there's real opportunities in this. I'd like to think that out of September 11th, some good things have resulted, where American foreign policy can really take advantage of some opportunities. You're seeing it in the kinds of relationships we're now developing, say, with Russia, the sorts of agreements that are now possible. You're seeing in the growth of our relations with a country like Pakistan. And the change in Pakistan behavior towards the Taliban is a very good example. But all around the world, the President and the Secretary of State and others are open to exploring the possibility that with governments that have supported and state sponsors of terrorism, that now there's an opportunity to perhaps change behavior. And this could apply to governments from Syria to Iran to Libya and others, where hopefully these governments are recalibrating their foreign policies given the change, not simply in American thinking, but given the change in international relations since September 11.
Mr. Ambassador, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Richard Haass is Director of Policy Planning for the State Department.